when there's only a few people at a company, you know, everybody pitches in a little bit on everything. I think it's a lot to do with attitude. You know, hard skills can be taught, but it's people who are interested in learning those hard skills that is important.
I'm Alex Blumberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
My name is Esprit Devora, born and raised LA, and I created We Are LA Tech in 2012 to unify the community. Podcast launched in 2014, continuing to help people find the best talent, to connect with each other, to form awesome relationships. So proud of this show. Enjoy.
This week's We Are LA Tech shout out goes to Phil Plumley. Phil, thank you so much for being supportive of We Are LA Tech for years now. Love that you're a listener and that you really appreciate the work that we're doing. Be sure to say hello to Phil on Instagram at wolfhound27. That's WOLFHOUND 27. Tell him you discovered him on the We Are LA Tech podcast. Thanks, Phil.
Join thousands of people in LA Tech on our We Are LA Tech Facebook group, where you can discover events, job opportunities, and even housing. Go to wearelatech.com/community. We'll take you straight there. That's wearelatech.com/community.
It's 2:30 a.m., just editing a podcast, sort of, or like looking at it and working on follow-up and all the other things that I don't know how I keep up with. But really, I just think I want to stay in this office like every minute possible. I love it so much. I had the podcasters meet up in here tonight. I don't know how many people showed up. I feel like it was 30 people. It was a lot of people for my space. And everybody was just so happy and connective and collaborative. And everyone said, like, it made it so much easier to, you know, engage with one another because it was a really comfortable space. And it's, you know, thanks to Rose Mina, who designed this space for me. It's just this really kumbaya zen-like environment. And I just can't imagine dismantling it and taking everything down and starting somewhere new. I don't want to touch anything. I just want it to grow and get even better and have more people in here. And I hope that that's possible. I don't know what the future entails. I talked to the new people that are going to run the space today, and they're going to connect with me on Thursday. And I'm just, it's kind of like a wait and see situation. I've also talked to other options. But yeah, I just love it here. It's crazy how important design is, because I didn't love it here for a while. It was just this like plain blue wall and white desks, and it was just wrong. And so one day I was at a new girlfriend's house, Kristen, and outside she had this roommate living in a teepee, no joke, like in a teepee in Santa Monica in like a garden area. And I go inside this epic teepee and it was amazing. Like the design and decor was absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe it. Like everybody would want to live in this teepee. And this girl, this like young girl, Rose Mina, she's still in school. She's an aspiring actress. And so I said, Rose Mina, would you be down to design my office space? And she's like, oh my God, I've always wanted to design, but I've never designed anything. I'm like, well, I want you to design it. I just had her go at it. So I'm telling you, like 99% of this is all Rosemina, and she made it perfect. Like it is, it's like she went inside my soul and just knew how to express my most authentic inner self on within like the walls and decor of the space. It's just amazing. And I'm so grateful that she did it. And so I have to remember that wherever I go, I'm sure if I asked Rosemina to design my new space, she would. And so I'm probably just like madly in love with the design, but I'm also like in love with the sound, you know, with the podcast and the privacy. And yeah, I love it. I love it here. But anyway, that is my little share for the night. I really need to force myself to leave and go to sleep. So I'm going to sign off and let you enjoy the next We Are LA Tech podcast episode. Thank you for being a listener. I appreciate you. Bye. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. I am speaking to you in a place that I really rather not be speaking to you, which is inside my home, because we moved out of the studio and we're transitioning into a new studio. And so if there is an echo, I apologize. I am blessed to have our incredible editor on this interview with us, who will be doing the best to get rid of the bedroom echo. Which is quite embarrassing. Adam is our special guest today. I am so elated to share our journey of We Are LA Tech and what's been going on this kind of bonus-esque Monday episode. It's really like a transparent episode, just bringing you along the We Are LA Tech ride. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to our amazing teammate, Adam Carroll. Hello.
Hello.
How many times have you heard me do the intro? Like hundreds?
Yeah, hundreds for sure.
So, okay, let's share with everybody, like, what, let's start from the realness. Like, we'll start with you introducing yourself as we always do, and maybe we'll talk about how we connected and where we're at today and why I am annoyingly inside a bedroom. So let's just keep it real. Like, why don't we start, as we always do, with introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm Adam Carroll. I am the editor of the We Are LA Tech and Women in Tech podcast. Longtime podcast aficionado. I do a lot of different things.
Yeah, you do. You're like, and where do we go from here? So Adam and I met, it's 2019. So we met, 5 years ago online. We didn't even meet in person until a few months ago, which is wild. So we had worked together digitally for 5 years before meeting IRL, which was really exciting. What was it like meeting me in person and seeing the We Are LA Tech space, which I'm so thankful that you saw the space before we had to transition out of the space? But what was it like to see something you had worked with for so long in real life?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I mean, obviously it was a great time, and it was really cool to see the studio in person. I've seen a few pictures here and there, but it's hard to get a sense of what it actually looks like. So that was interesting. But it was also just interesting to meet in person, where it's one of those things where, yeah, like you said, we've been talking virtually for years, and I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of hours of you talking. So I think, you know, when you listen to podcasts for a long time, just as a listener, you feel like you kind of get to know the hosts. And then, so I had that from editing the shows, plus, you know, talking to you on calls and things like that. So it didn't feel very foreign, which, I mean, I think it could have been strange, but it was, yeah, it just seemed very natural.
Yeah, it was super organic for me as well. Like, I feel like I trust you. I feel like we know each other, we work together, and it was just almost, I don't know if a formality is the right word, maybe technicality or something. It was just like, and hey, oh yeah, by the way, hi, this is me in person. Like,
yeah, it's kind of that digital buffer.
Yeah. What's so rad about, I think, you know, the idea of, you know, you live in Canada. I always forget. It wasn't Calgary. Or is it Calgary? No, it's not Calgary.
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. I always forget where. And as you know, like, I'm based in Los Angeles. And this discussion of, like, remote team and is always something that's talked about in startups around the world, not just here in LA. And it's interesting how much, you know, I trust you. And I think that we're more efficient because, I mean, like, we have one weekly call and I feel like that's all we need. Do you ever feel like we need more?
No, I think, you know, urgent things, we have other channels that we communicate through. And so it's that one weekly call is, I think, the personal touch, right? Like just where you can actually hear each other's voices and you're not just sending messages and things like that.
Totally. And there's this whole discussion about building team culture through through platforms like Slack. And I think that's interesting. We don't use Slack as a team. We use Basecamp. And I when I talk to other people, I'm like, we're not a water cooler chat kind of company. And but I still feel like it feels to me that all you guys feel connected to one another, right? Like you feel connected to Carl or am I mean, that's a weird way to pose a question. Like, don't you? Like, no, but genuinely, what do you feel like anything's missing in connectivity because we connect once a week and we primarily use Basecamp in a non-water cooler kind of way?
No, I think, you know, as far as like a virtual team could go, I think we're all fairly connected and comfortable with each other. And, you know, it's been the same small core group of people for quite a while. So we've, you know, gotten to know each other over the years.
Yeah, and to give context, I'm so proud of this. You and I have worked together since 2014. We took a little intermission for a while because you married your beautiful wife and you had to do things. But I feel so lucky that it was able to come back full circle and you're able to, like, be a part of the team again. And then Carl and I have worked together since 2014. Janice and I have worked together since 2012. Gerald has been on. I feel like 2014 is the year since 2014. And I know you don't see Gerald, who is our photographer and videographer when we have events, but you've probably seen some of his footage or photos. It just feels like for me as the founder, I feel such a deep sense of gratitude that all of you have this longevity with, you know, what we're doing. And speaking of longevity, I think getting into the raw of why I'm in a bedroom that I don't want to be in versus the studio is, so what happened with the studio, and you may have heard, I'm not even sure, Adam, where we are in airing our personal spots that talk a little bit about the studio. So this may be coming before you hear future. I mean, do the listeners know right now?
Yeah, it's been mentioned.
Yeah. So studio went triple in rent. And a few other technicalities. And so I had to evaluate whether, like, why it was that I was keeping, and Adam, I don't even think I've told you this, like, why it was that I wanted to keep the studio. For obvious reasons, we want a studio because I don't like the sound of this bedroom right now. And I don't like that my equipment is everywhere and I can't even find it under this mound of stuff. So I'm using my like normal Bose headphones, and thank goodness for Squadcast giving us our virtual high quality audio. But generally I have a bunch of mic stands set up in the studio and all of the mics ready to go. And it's a really exciting process. And sometimes I'll have video equipment set up from the Mevo. I have a G7X and all this stuff. And I had up the stairs of the studio, I had the t-shirts for We Are LA Tech. It was just a really, I called it my creative haven. But when I did deep work on understanding why I wanted to keep the studio so deeply, the main reason wasn't because of the podcast facilities, even though that is a really core part. The main reason was to serve community. And as much as serving community is just the essence of who I am, serving community doesn't necessarily increase our bottom line in revenue in order for me to support, you know, you, Adam, and support Carl and Janice and all these things that are really important to me. And we were really lucky that we were able to find like a part-time proper podcast studio just blocks away from my house. So I wasn't out of a podcast studio, and that starts at the beginning of next month. And so the core essence of the business, the podcast and producing offline experiences for the LA Tech community, didn't necessarily need the walls of the office. So I was holding on to it to serve and for sentimental purposes. And I realized because that doesn't actually advance the company forward financially, I just had to make the hard, really hard decision to let it go. And it feels weird. It feels super weird. It feels weird. It just feels bizarre. And I feel so unprofessional. The reason why Adam is kind enough to spend his Saturday with me right now doing this impromptu episode is because, you know, I've had to like finagle over the last weeks, where am I going to record and trying to schedule with different people and maybe driving to their space and with all these kind of erratic, new foreign scheduling, challenges with the podcast. I'm just like, Adam, let's just jump on a virtual call and share the story on Saturday or yesterday. And he was down. And so, yeah. What has it been like for you as, you know, our teammate? Because I bring this up on our team calls. I'm always so concerned. I always say things like, I don't want to let you guys down, or I want to provide for you. And I so mean that. I think you know that from like the core bottom of my heart. What is it like to experience the transition that we go through kind of as a company? Because you've experienced so many different types of transitions with me over the years.
I think from my perspective, you know, I don't see, you know, the nuts and bolts of a lot of the things that you're dealing with. From my end, it's like, and I think others on the team too, it's sort of, you know, whatever work there is to be done, we're going to be doing good work. So whether that's, you know, if it's a period of time when there's less episodes, then there's other things that we can be doing, or we can be spending more time on those episodes, making it as good as possible. I think it comes down to that I just enjoy the work, and being able to do that on a project that it, at the core of both of the podcasts is just about making people's lives better, helping people, giving advice to people, giving inspiration to people. And that's, you know, a good cause to get behind on top of, you know, enjoying doing this type of work. Also being able to do that for a cause that's not just like trying to make a bunch of money off of it.
Mm. So like the core values of the organization itself is what you align with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does make a difference. It makes it that much better if you can believe in the type of work that you're doing.
And my intent in sharing this conversation on the podcast right now is, you know, my MO is always, how can we be of most value and service to our listeners, and how can we be helpful? So I think the intent in asking this and how it will serve our listeners is, one question I get when I'm speaking at an event is, how do you build a team? How do you attract people to work with you? What do you do when you don't have the big fancy venture money behind you? How do you get started? And so I think hearing your experience on like why you're attracted to this opportunity and like what about it makes you feel just really good about rolling through the transitions, I think that's really helpful to our community. What about the work lifestyle really suits you well?
Well, I mean, the lifestyle side of it is, you know, being able to work on the podcast when is convenient for me. Like, there's no set hours or schedule. It's, you know, as long as it's done by when it needs to be done. So that's nice to have that flexibility, to be able to, you know, if there's a couple of days that I'm going to be out of town or something, you know, I can just work a little bit more leading up to that and, you know, be covered. So it's just the flexibility is nice.
What would you recommend to people if they're looking to, I mean, you're an insanely talented, both audio and video editor. There's so many people that are out there looking for talent for their teams, maybe not necessarily in media creation, but just looking for talent. What would you recommend to founders starting out in their companies should do, or how they should approach it to attract talent to want to work with them?
Stick around. We'll be right back after the break.
The best business resource I have is my mentor's private Facebook group. I've never found a community that cares more about one another's success. It inspired me to create the same thing for podcasters. If you're a tech company or startup looking to grow your podcast audience, I created GetPodcastListeners.com, a private group specifically to discover how other podcasters have grown their audiences so we could do the same. Check out GetPodcastListeners.com. That's GetPodcastListeners.com. What would you recommend to founders starting out in their companies should do, or how they should approach it to attract talent to want to work with them?
Well, like I mentioned, you know, finding people with similar values to you, people that are, you know, at the beginning, they may not know much about your company, but having a company that aligns with their values will, you know, if you can get them in the door, they're going to stick around longer. You know, culture in general, you know, not every culture is right for every person and doesn't necessarily make it good or bad, but finding people that kind of fit into that culture. And startups in particular have sort of the jobs are not specifically siloed. When there's only a few people at a company, you know, everybody pitches in a little bit on everything. So it's finding those people who are, I like to say, people who are just doers. People just, you know, you can get thrown anything and it'll get done. And if you don't know how to do it, you can figure out how to get it done well enough. So it's finding those people. I think it's a lot to do with attitude. You know, hard skills can be taught, but it's people who are interested in learning those hard skills that is important.
And one thing Carl has, I don't know if you've said this as much, but Carl has said a few times, and I wonder how you feel about it is, and it's a word that comes up a lot in our culture today, which is, and a word that we've used in this conversation today, which is transparency, authenticity. And I really push myself to be a vulnerable leader, even when I'm highly uncomfortable. I think it's extremely unorthodox and sometimes makes me nervous. And Carl has told me in the past, like, I actually, this is his words, that he actually like loves that, because seeing me be vulnerable, like, just makes him feel more free to be himself too, and to trust the situation. Like I said, it's like so unorthodox. How do you feel about, you know, and what vulnerability means, by the way, you guys listening, is like when we're on the team calls, if I'm going through, I'll give a specific example. Like about a year and a half ago, my friend took his life, and I was like, I just went through a deep depression. It was just awful. Like I couldn't anything. And that was hard. And I literally just show up to the best of my ability, and I'm honest through and through all the time. And so whether that's going through something horrible like that, or it's just this week where I'm going through all this transition and the moving and figuring out, or, you know, whatever that rawness and that quote unquote weakness is, I share it with the team. How does that sit with you when we live in such a perfectionist culture?
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about this a lot, where it's, everybody is expected to be perfect and no one is. But I think that in the context of our team, I think it's helpful to know some of the things that are going on, because that gives context. If nothing else, it gives us context to, like, if you have a bunch of things going on and you're super busy or super stressed out, or, you know, that type of thing, if there's a small question or a little detail that I don't need to bother you with right now, I can wait. You know, anything, basically things that I could handle myself, but maybe I would, you know, if you're available, I'll ask you. I know there are times to just figure it out and not bother you because you've got enough on your plate to, rather than, you know, reviewing audio files or, you know, so it's that, and there's times when you're jumping in to help out with things that I'm doing, and it's like a give and take, and, you know, kind of being able to read when you've got a lot on your plate or you're dealing with a lot, and knowing how to kind of balance that.
I've met so many founders, especially through the Experience Club, that share with me how much they're struggling, but they can't let anyone know. And I understand, like, that feeling. Do I ever, and I appreciate that we could have this candid conversation, and because you know that there would never be any judgment. Do you ever see me as unprofessional because I lead with vulnerability? And my intent in asking is to demonstrate to others what the truth is, so that they can make choices in their companies, if they maybe would feel more ease if they could be a little bit more vulnerable, or, like, no, it's good that they're, like, masking everything.
Right. And I think part of it is knowing your audience, right? So at a small company, I think it's easier to be more vulnerable because you have a closer relationship with those people, and they can, you know, if you are running a company with 200 employees and a lot of them may not know you personally, and you start talking about these things, people may not know how to react to that, or they might be, you know, it's like if there's issues and you bring them up to people who maybe aren't familiar with your situation, then, you know, you don't want people to be worried like, oh, is the company going to go out of business? Like, why is the CEO worried right now? So I think it's just knowing, I mean, having that context and choosing, you know, what's appropriate to share and what's not. And I think it's easier to share more with a smaller team where you have a closer familiarity with everybody.
I'm really glad you brought that up because it's something I started to think about, I think it was a couple years ago, because when you start out as an entrepreneur, you're kind of sold the dream of Google. I'm going to build the Google. I'm going to build the Facebook or what, you know? And then later, I remember what the first time I went to go visit Google. I'll actually share a story. Adam, you don't know this at all, but actually, I don't think most people know this. So I broke into Google once. Like I wanted to sell my action sports company really bad, and they built, and in my action sports company, we have the We Are LA Tech calendar. Well, this whole calendar thing that I was building started with my sports company, and I with my sports company, I had every single action sports event, going on. Anyway, in Google at the time, they built a sports calendar, but they didn't have any action sports like skateboarding, motocross, all the stuff. And I was the only company that had all this data. So I was like, oh, they've got to want to buy me. So I researched, who the engineers were of this calendar portion of Google for the sports division. And I flew to San Francisco and went to every single building looking for these engineers, like no joke, and I would get denied everywhere. And I kept going. Well, it got so bad that they started to put a security alert on me, like, watch out for this girl. Like, I started saying, this company was built in a garage. You have to give people like me a chance. It was crazy. Anyway, one of the last buildings, I was unsuccessful finding these people, but one of the last buildings, they called the cops on me or whatever. And in my Nikes, I like booked it to the bus. I was like, and then I was so afraid because I had like Gmail and Google Docs. I was like, oh my God, I hope Google doesn't shut me down, you know? But the reason why I bring that up, so weird that that story is so true and probably even worse than like I remember it. But the reason why I bring that up is it was around that. So it was more than a couple years ago. It was around that time that I started to think about what's the responsibility I want as an entrepreneur? Meaning, like, if you go big like Google, there are human beings at the top that have an insane amount of responsibility with that size of company. Whereas if you build what's sort of called a lifestyle company, which I don't think that that's a fair name because usually lifestyle companies are associated with blogs or something like that. I particularly think a lifestyle company is a small team. And to make that active decision of the type of culture you want and the level of responsibility you want to have, and then to build the company that suits you, suits the lifestyle you want to have, which for me is a small team. Like, I don't want us ever to be big. I don't think it would be more successful to be super huge in terms of internal team. I think that we gauge our success on the scale of positive social impact we can create. And I think success is also, for me, it's how much I could provide for you guys. And it's also, do we have the right processes and systems in place to efficiently, positively impact the most people? And I think really, if I could go back in time and defining early on, what does success look like and like what kind of lifestyle of a company I'd like to have, it would help put things in perspective. Because like you said and like validated for me, is the reason why I can be a vulnerable leader is because we have a small team and you guys have like a really cool connective rapport with me. Whereas you're right, in a large company, maybe that's a privilege, and maybe that's a privilege that doesn't suit a 200 person company well and beyond 200, 5,000 people, whatever, you know, just maybe there's a certain, like at 15 people, that's it. Can't be vulnerable leader anymore, you know? But yeah, that's a choice that I actively started to think about a while ago. And it's a choice that I didn't understand that I had when I first started. Why did you ever decide, why aren't you an entrepreneur?
I mean, I do a lot of side projects, but I don't know why. It was just never a thing. I mean, obviously, you know, coming out of school, everybody kind of wants to freelance and do work. I went to school for video production and motion graphics. So, you know, and so I've done, you know, photography and video and all kinds of things, freelance work, but I've never really tried to make it like starting a company kind of thing. I think it's probably just the business part of it. Like, I just don't want to have to, you know, I'm happy to just do my own taxes and,
and that's as far as the business part goes. What's your perspective on boundaries? Meaning, like, it seems like you're great at being a family man as well as being a completely reliable professional. Can you share with us how you do that? Like, how do you set boundaries for yourself? And I don't really like this word, but I can't think of a better one, balance, where you're able to prioritize your family and still show up being the badass that you are.
I'm definitely not perfect at it either. I mean, I'm always trying to figure out better ways to prioritize, because there is, you know, there's a ton of things that I would like to do that I just haven't gotten around to. But I mean, it's really, it's all just about prioritizing and, you know, not taking on too much. And, you know, every once in a while that does happen and you get really busy and then you realize you have to kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. But yeah, it's really just prioritizing and setting the time aside, you know, for the things that are important to you. So if you, you know, if you do have a family or if there's other commitments that you need to tend to, you know, kind of slotting that in first, and then what else can you take on top of that? So I'm sort of in the midst of kind of going through a list of, you know, the things that have been on the to-do list for quite a while, just little projects that I'd like to do, or, you know, taking online classes for different things and things like that, that fall to the wayside. And every once in a while, you just kind of need like a little reminder to get back to those things.
What's one of the online classes you want to take?
I've started getting into UX and UI design. So I have I have some Creative Live classes to watch. I also have been wanting to do some kind of a painting class.
Nice. That's rad. That's super rad. What's a quote that is one of your, you know, I ask this on the episode sometimes. What's a quote that has really moved you, stuck with you over the years? Like a piece of advice, rather, that you've gotten?
You'd think I'd be prepared with this.
Watch, Adam's going to edit himself out now.
I'm definitely going to edit myself. It's not necessarily a specific quote or a thing. It's more of a concept, sort of the concept of servant leadership.
I've never heard that term before. You're Googling.
I am Googling to make sure that I have this right. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't saying it wrong, because that would just be embarrassing. So it's the idea of, as a leader, instead of just sort of sending tasks down to your team and saying, you know, to get all these things done, it's about taking things off of their plate and redistributing those, or whether it's doing that yourself or, you know, to enable your team to do what they're most effective at.
I love that. Yeah. To really identify our core competencies and spend the most energy doing what we're best at.
Yeah, it's really just, you know, what can I do to help you succeed at your job? And that's basically the concept of servant leadership.
I love that. Before we split up and I let you get back to your normal Saturday, what's one thing you'd like to like leave everybody with, either to know about you or to know about us? Is there kind of something that you want to put out in the world with our listeners?
I mean, I don't have any, you know, grand piece of advice or anything. I think what has been happening with podcasts in the last, I mean, I guess decade is crazy.
It is crazy.
The way that they've evolved, like it's, I think it's still on its way up. Most people know what podcasts are now, but I think it's still, I don't know what it looks like, but I think there's still like another level that podcasts are going to rise to.
Yeah, I agree completely. A lot of people ask me, like, is it too late for me to start a podcast? What do you think?
No, I mean, it's the same as starting a blog or, you know, doing anything. There are a lot of people doing it, but what's, you know, there's no downside to doing it. If it's good, people will listen to it. Even, you know, even if it's just 10 of your friends who listen to your podcast, then why not? If it, you know, I wouldn't set out to do it as a company unless you are really prepared to do that. But if you're doing it just because you like doing it, then, you know, at the very least, even if nobody listens, you have a record of, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it's conversations with people or, you know, if you're interviewing people about a topic that you enjoyed or just learning things or just talking about, you know, the news or anything that interests you, there's no downside to that.
Simon Rex on his podcast, Nervous Rex, he says all the time, the reason why he loves podcasting, he says it's the only hour where he can have a real conversation with someone and no one's looking at the phone, and it's in real life, just genuine conversing in such a digital age where we're usually so distracted and with the pings and everything. He's like, he finds it so freeing and rewarding to be able just to have real conversations several times a week. Your puppy. And on that note, I think your puppy is ready for you to go have a Saturday. puppy. Okay, you go be with your puppy. Thank you so much for just being you and letting me make you uncomfortable several times when I overcompliment you for years. And yeah, this has been like really rad. I'm really this. Yeah, thank you for spending your Saturday this way when you didn't have to.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, I will talk to you guys. See you guys. Hear you guys in the next episode. Remember to say hello on the We Are LA Tech social channels, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and to connect more with incredible people in LA Tech, go to wearelatech.com/community. Bye. Adam, remember to say bye.
Bye.
This is Adam Carroll, podcast editor at We Are LA Tech, and you are listening to We Are LA Tech.
Join thousands of people in LA Tech on our We Are LA Tech Facebook group, where you can discover events, job opportunities, and even housing. Go to wearelatech.com/community. We'll take you straight there. That's wearelatech.com/community.
We're so proud of what we've created with the We Are LA Tech podcast. To be a part of our journey with us, if you'd like to donate, go to wearelatech.fm. That's wearelatech.fm, and you can find our donation link at the top right of the page. Thank you so much for supporting us in our journey and helping fuel us moving forward for each and every episode.
The We Are LA Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit Devora.
With help from Janice Geronimo.
Edited by Adam Carroll.
Show notes by Carl Marty.
Music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The We Are LA Tech podcast is a wearetech.fm production.